This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. If you want to reach out to Accessible Media Inc. folks, you can do it several ways. You can get a hold of us. Maybe leave us a message. 1-866-509-4545 is the number. Mention it's for Kelly and Company. And if you don't mind, give us permission to use it on air. If we can, we will. 1-866-509-4545. On Twitter, we're at AMI Audio. You can follow along with the shows and see what's coming up next at AMI Audio on Twitter. And feedback at AMI.ca. If you have a question about AMI Audio, AMI Tele, or AMI TV, great way just to send that email in, feedback at AMI.ca. Kelly McDonald with Ramya Muthan.
Kels, it's time for us to get into some good audiobook chat. There's a few things that Ryan has for us today, so let's bring on Ryan Huey.
Who knew an entire library could fit inside your pocket? My name is Ryan Huey. This is the Chatty Bookshelf, and we talk all things audiobooks.
Ryan, is this one of those weeks that you've had to put away a few stories because you've had to squeeze in what you can on the show?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again. And yes, I think it's always one of those weeks. Not to sound like, you know, the content thing is easy, but I mean, with audiobooks, I'm pretty sure that we've said this before with all the subsequent years, but 2020 year might be the year of the audiobook, right?
I think it is. I mean, just with the stories that you brought the first day back with the Chatty Bookshelf, it was like, whoa, just hit the ground running with audiobook talk. So what kind of great stories do you have for us this week?
This one's really cool, and it's sort of a little bit of a local flavor. So in London, just this past Thursday morning on CBC Morning Show on the radio, the staff of the London Public Library shared some of their heartwarming books, and a lot of them are available in audio, to kind of beat the winter blues. So they kind of came on and they gave all of their recommendations and they said, hey, come check out this book, old school style, or hey, do the digital download of this one. And they sort of mentioned all kinds of different books, that all different kinds of genres that you could go and get at your local public library to read or listen to, which was really, really cool because I've never seen that done before on a morning show.
No, that's really tremendous. Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. One, CBC is right next to the public library in London, for people wondering, their office. And also, who also works at the London Public Library? Michael Sacon, who used to be over at CELA and left there and is now here in London. So definitely I could see the push and the whole viewpoint of, hey, if we can work with the media. So really good for them and good for the outreach that libraries are trying to make, Ryan, because it's a tricky time when it comes to COVID and how they're going to deliver.
And you know what? I love the push they put on doing it digitally. Like, hey, you don't actually have to come down to the library. We'd love you to, but you know, you don't actually have to come down if you feel more safe and secure doing this on your tablet or on your cell phone from the comfort of your home. Use our apps. And they actually kind of went through that and said, hey, you can do this, that, and the other with the app and get, you know, do the digital download and listen to the audiobook or read the ebook right from your own device. And one of the librarians there, her name is Kristen. She's a great follow on Twitter. Everything that she has posted has something to do with books, and she's growing my to read list quite a bit. She did a lot of the talking too, and a lot of her recommendations. And there's just so many good books that they were talking about. A lot of them, and I know it's early, what we're only, you know, halfway through January, but a lot of them were, hey, this one's been downloaded this many times in 2022 already. So it was really, really cool to hear all of these stories. And if you guys did miss it, you can catch this on cbc.ca, and you can just, you kind of got to fiddle around a bit, but you are able to find it. And they posted it on all their social medias, and even the London Public Library posted it on their Twitter just this morning.
Okay, that's tremendous.
There are some pretty highly anticipated books coming out for 2022 too, though. Like, there's already a lot of pre-orders and things like that on Audible, Amazon Kindle, whatever, because I think that a lot of people are just getting into it, not just books necessarily, but audiobooks specifically, and getting into it.
And the really marketing of it too.
Well, it's really interesting because one of the books that I'm waiting for, audiobook, comes out in August, but the pre-order went live last week. And I'm like, whoa, that's, yeah. that soon, right? Like, obviously, I pre-ordered it, but you know, it was. I was just like, wow, it's only January, and this doesn't come out till, you know, mid-August, and like that's a long way away. Now
long
it's just
list.
Sitting there teasing me, like, hey, by the way, I come out in August. You know, read me when you can.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you wonder how much the pandemic has slowed things down at that end. So maybe this is what we're seeing right now, because it's better to create, find the demand that it's going to be, start and make sure that come August, you have everything you need. But also the marketing opportunities for everything. When you talk books versus audiobooks, it'd be interesting to see their viewpoints of how, and maybe that'd be a really cool discussion one day, Ryan, what the differences are. What now do you do to push an audiobook where, and stuff like that, versus just, you know, the latest new release by so-and-so, you know, is what they used to do.
No, you've read my mind, but that's it's a really good discussion. And there's so many different ways that they're doing it. And I think that we'll be seeing earlier and earlier pre-orders becoming, I guess, released for download and stuff, because it's actually... like I said, you know, August is a long ways away. I didn't even notice that they started that earlier, and I just never noticed, kind of thing. But it was really cool story, really cool segment that they had going on there. And I hope they do more of that. And I hope other communities catch on, because it was great for the library, the community, the book lovers. And they really got me excited to listen to some of the books and to get on the apps and start downloading.
Well, it's amazing the small town ability that you can do when it comes to radio, the community feel, which brings us into our next story. You want to tell us about it?
This one, it was really cool, and I had to kind of put it because it goes hand in hand. So over the Christmas break, the Washington Post did an article about how communities who invest in their libraries are kind of becoming the bright spots, and how in turn, those libraries are kind of becoming the bright spots of the community. You know, typically we're used to going into the library and it's an old brick building and has one window and there's old dusty books there, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not anymore, right? These libraries are extravagant. They're fantastic. They're like the people are taking pictures of them. And, you know, even though you might have one of those old brick buildings with the one window, they're looking at, you know, kind of changing those ones too, like getting and making that the bright spot of the community, which is pretty awesome. Because I mean, I know I've said this before, but how many places can you go and actually leave with something that's free? And a library is one of them, right? If you're into the audio or into the books or the print books, stuff like that. And you know, it's really changed, because libraries aren't just about print books anymore. There's so many different things that you can do with the library. There's so many different kind of technology things. And this article really, really showcased that really well. And it actually kind of concentrated on one particular library that won Library of the Year. And I wish I could see this place, because it sounds phenomenal. It is just, I couldn't believe it. It's a little bit further from us than I would like, but you know, right. I feel maybe a trip is in order.
How far is it, right?
It's actually in Oslo, Norway. And I'm going to screw up this name, but it's called the Deutschman Bjørvmen, and it sounds so cool. So it's six floors. I don't even know if there's anywhere near me a six floor library, but it's kind of the three towers hold up the six floors, and it's got this atrium in the middle that is all just like natural sunlight. And people said that even if they couldn't see the sunlight, because they, you know, were part of the visually impaired community, they could feel it. And it was just really cool. You look off into the mountains, that sort of thing. So it's like this place has just become one of the most visited place libraries in the world. And it's just really, really cool. And I couldn't imagine just going there, right? But what's really cool is they said, oh, you don't even have to come. They're putting a push towards their digital kind of catalog as well. So it's like, oh, well, come get set up, get your library card. And then, yeah, you can go home and browse right from the comfort of your own home. So I thought that was interesting, because I thought the building would be the showcase.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, in the past 2 years, we've had other discussions about libraries too, and their role throughout the pandemic. You know, if we can't go in person, then what are the libraries going to do to survive this? But we've seen and heard that there are a lot of ways that libraries are surviving it. So I think that this is a good idea. First of all the digital opportunities out there for people that are still associated with libraries, right? Our apps and ebooks and audiobooks that way. But then there's other ways too, in person, if you can go, and if these libraries can still continue to offer these services, there's a lot of stuff in libraries that aren't just books now.
Oh, there's so much. And you know what? It's really interesting because the article goes on to say that over the past 2 years, more communities are putting renovation money, all those dollars, into the libraries. They're opening new ones.
Amazing.
So it's like, this is really cool. Over the pandemic, they're starting to open more. When we see more and more places closing and shutting down shop, we see libraries popping up or libraries getting renovation money, which is really awesome. And like you said, there's so much more. Like, they listed all kinds of things where you can go in and use their recording studio and do a podcast. There's books, there's digital libraries, there's all kinds of different things. There's kids' corners, there's cooking classes and kitchens and stuff now in libraries. So it's not your old, you know, in the basement, come look at our Mm-mm. encyclopedias anymore, right? I thought this was really funny. They said at the end of the article, you know, even some of the technology in these libraries that the librarians have to learn how to use will rival an Apple store. And I thought that was kind of funny because I never really thought about it until, like, oh yeah, that's probably right with all the stuff they got going on there now. It's not your typical touch and type.
Even the look of them, the feel, like you say, whether it's getting coffee, whether it's having a place to sit and read outside or inside or on a rooftop, the size of so many of them, because you'd think, hey, you know what, how big does one have to be when there may be not necessarily less books, but less space taken up by the traditional book with stuff, especially most of the e-concepts you can have. But even virtually getting into that idea of helping people do their podcasts and promoting podcast stuff, because again, we go back to what is a library, the place for all of that entertainment and learning tools.
And you know what, not to sound like a total dad here, but I hope Abby loves the library. And I think this is the push that they need, right? Because I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love going to the dusty old library to sit on the carpet that was shaped like a turtle. And I thought that was the coolest thing. But now it's like, you know, everything is so cool at the library. It's really putting that push towards kids and getting them involved in reading or listening to audiobooks or cooking or even podcasting, that sort of thing. It's sort of shaping that new generation and that new look for the library.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the community building is still happening in libraries. You can go in book conference rooms or meeting rooms, or like you're talking about the podcasting, like whatever it is, people are looking for space, for learnings, for different opportunities. And the more that these libraries continue to provide for us and continue to adapt, even just as simple as the booking systems, right? Are we walking through all the aisles of books anymore? Not really. Like, you're finding things online, you're finding the catalogs and being able to support the libraries in even in the distant ways. So it does still continue to provide that community feel. And I think that's kind of full circle, right, Rye? Because you're talking about how these libraries in different communities are popping up as these bright spots.
And even you can look at it online too, because they have that online presence too. Like, just look what the London Library did. Like, they're tweeting out all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the recommendations.
The Toronto Public Library, right? They're doing all that too. So
they
it's not just
they get you involved, right? And
exactly.
Because libraries are the big example of community, and because you have so many different library locations.
No, and there's even like arts and crafts and stuff there too. Like, I mean, not that I have to be sold on a library. I love my libraries here, but you know what? Even the cafes and stuff, like Kelly had mentioned, like that's a new big thing too. It's, you know, not so much your Starbucks, but you put the little local cafe. Like, I know down here in Windsor, they in the libraries, they have like a local kind of cafe where all the money goes back to like the United Way or, you know, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, that sort of thing. And it's just your coffee and cookie thing. But hey, What more do you need when you're enjoying a book?
Absolutely. Well, I love it, Rye. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about Audible and audiobooks.com and just like our online resources for getting our books and memberships and things. But it's nice to highlight the libraries and make sure, guys, FYI, libraries are still around and they're great to support. Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Ryan Hui joins us on the Chatty Bookshelf every Friday.
We take a moment We'll stop here, and when we return, we'll look back at the week on Cut for Time as we review some of the topics, subjects, and conversations that we had on the show and some things that we want to add to them after this. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.